Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. In 1976, Paul McCartney released the single Silly Love Songs. It was the fifth number one hit by McCartney and Wings, the band that he formed after the Beatles broke up. He wrote it, he would later admit, as a response to some of his critics, and particularly to one critic, former Beatle and songwriting partner, John Lennon. You see, Lennon had complained on more than one occasion that McCartney mainly wrote what he called granny music, which he described as nothing more than silly little love songs. And so in response, McCartney wrote one more silly love song and started out by saying, "You'd think that people would have had enough of silly love songs. I look around me and I see it isn't so. Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs, and what's wrong with that?" And I'm guessing anyone of my vintage and above really wanted to sing along. All right, so hold on to McCartney's silly love songs for a moment, and then I want you to ask yourself a question. Why is Mount Olivet important to you? Important enough to get up on a Sunday morning and come to church? Important enough to volunteer time? Important enough to make a pledge or offer a gift to support our ministries? And that question doesn't only apply to you, of course, but really to thousands of people who have made Mount Olivet their faith home. But why? All right, now hold on to McCartney's Silly Love Songs and hold on to those questions that I just asked you for a moment longer. And then listen or hear again the words we heard this morning from the Apostle Paul. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions and even hand over my body and my whole being, but do not have love, I gain nothing." You've likely heard that passage before, probably at a wedding, one of the most popular wedding verses in history. In fact, quick show of hands, if chapter 13 from 1 Corinthians was read at your wedding, and guys, if you don't remember, just raise your hand. Now, what I find really interesting about this passage is that when Paul wrote it nearly 2,000 years ago, he would not have ever dreamt it would be read at a wedding, a celebration of love between two people. Because Paul was writing this to people who were not only not in love with each other, but actually were not treating each other very well. Just a little background may help. Paul had established this congregation in the Greek city of Corinth during one of his missionary trips. He stayed there for a year and a half, and when he felt the congregation was strong enough to succeed without him, he moved on, eager to plant more congregations. In the years after Paul left, however, this congregation really struggled. They argued with each other relentlessly. They grew divisive with different members aligning themselves with different leaders. They were publicly hurtful to one another and spoke disrespectfully to each other and even were taking each other to court, making this little church kind of a spectacle. And perhaps most regularly, they kept trying to establish a pecking order in the congregation, distinguishing between those who were the really good Christians and those who were second or third rate. Now, sometimes those divisions fell along the typical lines that you'd expect in any culture. For instance, those who were wealthiest and gave the most got to sit up front for the worship services, whereas those who were poor sat way in the back. At other times, though, those lines of division were drawn along what Paul calls as spiritual gifts. Some of the Corinthians, it seems, were really good at preaching. Others excelled at teaching. Some were really smart, while others just had this uncanny depth of wisdom. Some gave all the time they had to volunteer at the congregation, while others gave most of their money. And instead of celebrating all these different gifts from across the congregation, the Corinthians used them to judge each other and even put each other down, entering into this relentless competition about who had the best spiritual gifts. That's what prompts Paul to use the metaphor of the body of Christ in the chapter just before this one, the passages we've read over the last two Sundays during worship. All of the gifts in the Corinthian congregation, Paul asserts, are gifts coming from the same God, gifts of the same Holy Spirit, and meant for the same purpose, building up the whole of the community. Our stewardship verse this year also comes from this chapter. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. A body only functions as it's intended when all the members are working well and together. Every member counts. Every member has something to offer. Then Paul continues in the verses we heard today, where Paul doesn't only say that all these different gifts matter, but he actually goes on to say that these gifts don't matter at all if they're not offered out of love. Imagine for a moment hearing Paul tell this congregation that without love, all their great teaching and preaching was just a noisy gong. Paul telling them that all their knowledge and wisdom and even their faith without love was kind of pathetic. That all their generosity, absent love, was worthless. Paul, you see, knows that the one thing that binds us together, the one thing that each of us needs more than anything else, the one thing most likely to guarantee a life of purpose and joy is love. And while that's true in general, it is especially true of God's love. God's love that tells us that we are accepted just as we are, that we are good enough already, that we are each worthy of dignity and respect. God's love that in turn helps us to love others. That's why Mount Olivet, I think, is so important to so many of us. This is the place that reminds us regularly that we have value and have worth, that we are accepted and forgiven just as we are because God loves us. That's what Jesus' cross means. It is just how far God will go to show us that we are loved. That's also what Jesus' resurrection means, that nothing in this life, even death, is more powerful than God's love. But here's the thing. This message that we are loved and valued just as we are, at times can be hard to hear and believe. In any given week, so many things may seem to conspire against us feeling worthy of being loved, whether it's an unkind word from a family member or friend, the failure of a relationship, a disappointment at home or school, an unexpected tragedy, feeling let down, or like you let someone down. All these things and more can conspire to make us feel like we are the one person in the world that doesn't really deserve to be loved. And so we come together each Sunday morning to hear God's love, to remind each other of God's love, to demonstrate God's love to each other in ways that are small and large, but together root us again in the confidence that God has promised to hold on to us always out of love. Maybe to the outside world, it looks a little odd to say these things over and over again. Maybe it even seems silly, but we know how important it is. Notice, in fact, just how many times Paul uses that word love in the short passage Pastor Dixon just read. Not only when he says that spiritual gifts only matter when offered in love, but then he goes on in verses familiar to most of us, but maybe heard differently when we realize Paul's talking about God's love for us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That is a dozen mentions of the same word in just 8 verses. Why? Because like that other Paul, McCartney, the Apostle Paul knows that you can never hear about love too often, even if it feels silly to keep repeating it. Love, as we said, can be hard to hold on to or believe, but when you are seized up in it, you also realize how powerful it is. Love instills you with courage and compassion. It encourages you to try things you would otherwise never dare. Love heals hurt, binds up heartache, and in so many ways creates for us a new and open future. So when I ask you to give to support the ministry of this congregation, and I am asking and thanking you for your gifts that support this church, it's because I believe, because we believe, that every person in our family and community and world deserves to hear that they are loved and accepted, that they are worthy of dignity and respect, that they have gifts of the Spirit, as Paul reminds us, and that God will use those gifts, use all of us, to accomplish God's mission in the world. That is the gospel, something you can hear over and over again, and yet still comes as strangely unexpected, regularly surprising, this life-giving word of hope and grace and love. Because in the end, that is the one thing you can never hear too often. And so for that reason, we here are some of those people who want to fill the world with God's silly love songs. And honestly, what's wrong with that? Thanks be to God. Amen.